This is episode 11 of The Rich and Joe Show by The Podcast Without a Name.
That's right, you heard it correctly. It's The Rich and Joe Show. Sans Anthony.
Which is a shame. So,
I think there's another sale going on at Victoria's Secret, and I believe he's camping out, and he's waiting to get a big deal on some sort of nightwear or something.
A nice teddy or a negligee, something.
Negligee, yes. And tonight I'm drinking Guinness. You could probably... Oh, yeah.
And I'm off the wagon. I'm drinking Schmitz.
Schmitz.
And there's a picture of a pheasant on the can.
That sounds interesting. I don't think I've ever had Schmitz.
It's, I would say right up there with like PBR. It's in the, you know, it's a domestic lager beer.
Ah.
Well, nice low alcohol content. You could sip it, not worried about getting too blitzed.
Well, I mean, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Well, I'm slowly getting off of my cheap beer kick. I'm kind of in the mid-range with the Guinness. I have some Stella here, too. You know, we'll see where I go with my alcohol drinking for this evening. I do have some whiskey upstairs in case I need to break into that. Hopefully we don't go that long. So, you know.
These are always interesting nights when we do, Joe.
It is a lot of interesting nights. We were just talking off air about the lost episodes that we have, where it was the Rich and Joe Show, where we kind of went off topic and listened to some music and all that type of stuff. So there's going to be some lost episodes out at some point that should be a little entertaining. We'll find out. So, you know, let's get to the business here. So Comey, surprise, we're talking about James Comey and Russia Trump once again. This will not go away. I remember our last cast about 3 weeks ago or so, we talked about, oh, we think this is starting to come to a head. We're going to maybe get to a solution on this or get to an end on this. And, you know, maybe we still are within a time frame of what we were indicating, but it seems like this may not go away for a little while, to be honest with you.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's going to dry. I think this might be a sticking point for a very long time. I was hoping it wouldn't be, but I think it will be. Yesterday, Comey testified in front of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Generally, I know that there was probably a lot of cool headlines from a lot of the awesome websites that everyone follows out there. But for the most part, in real terms, material terms, we didn't find out anything new. There's probably a whole lot of disappointment on the Democratic side because they don't necessarily have something to, like, smoking gun off the bat go with. I know that they were hoping for that. They didn't get it. We got a couple other cool stuff out of it that were just, you know, super interesting. Like Comey is one of the leakers. That was rather interesting when he said that. Very surprising. And then we also found out that Loretta Lynch apparently, I mean, we knew, but a little bit more of, I guess, evidence of her influencing the Hillary investigation with her asking Comey to say it wasn't an investigation, but it was a matter. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, I don't know if that was before or after she met with Mr. Bill Clinton, former president Bill Clinton, on a plane, which was what really got everyone thinking that there was something going on. But now we have Comey saying that she was directly in there and probably in a more material way trying to influence an investigation than what we heard about Trump. Everything we heard about Trump yesterday, if you caught the live stream of the actual testimony on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, we streamed it all, no commentary, just straight streaming. You would know that there really wasn't much. It was a lot of speculation on Comey's part on motivations. But unfortunately, like one of the congressmen pointed out, people don't generally get convicted on hoping so. So that's really where we are. I mean, he claimed that he thinks Trump's a liar. I mean, like, well, he just got fired by Trump. So,
yeah, well, he's not going to give him glowing review, no. You know? Yeah.
My opinion on Comey still remains, you know, he's probably a great guy. He really carries himself pretty well. He's really tall too, by the way. Did you know that? He's like 6'4" or 6'5". He's
yeah, really a lot tall. Of a lot of the females, or a couple of the females in my Facebook feed, were commenting about that. Like, if we didn't learn anything from his testimony, we kind of learned that he's a little bit of a stud. And I was like, oh, I guess, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm sure he's a great person. I'm sure, and he probably is a good leader in his agency. Sure, I'm sure he. From what I understand, he was actually popular among the workforce. But I still think he's pretty incompetent. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, you know, Joe, here comes your right-leaning self. Okay, admittedly, maybe that's part of my right-leaning self saying that. But you can't sit here and just say, just because time has passed, or just because now he's doing something that might be kind of supporting your political position, that you could just forget about the past. You hated him if you're a Democrat. You absolutely hate this guy. You thought he was on someone's payroll. You were thinking he was trying to derail the election because historically he's more conservative of a guy. Like, you hated him. Let's be real. Republicans hated him. You hated him. And now you like him again, right? So next week he could do something and the Republicans will be loving him. So let's be real here. The dude is probably a nice guy, but he's probably pretty incompetent in terms of being a leader at an executive branch agency. I got to be honest with you. And that is taking the totality of him and what he's done. I don't know what his shtick is here. Something's going on with him. I don't get it.
But yeah, it's really strange because he really seemed to be playing both sides of the aisle. I mean, it was really, really strange. Obviously, he has something going on with Trump. You know, before he got fired, it didn't seem like, from his testimony at least, that he didn't particularly like him or trust him to begin with. You know, and he was hired by Barack Obama, who by all accounts was probably a really nice guy, and he probably got along really well from him. Maybe he developed some kind of a friendship with him. But yeah, there was definitely some concerning, some just concerning things that he did while he was in the position that he was, to where I've never really seen anything like that before. You know, usually the director of the FBI is somebody that's kind of behind the scenes. He was kind of a little too popular, you know, to be in that position.
You're right. He was very visible. And now historically there's been plenty of other visible FBI directors, but the story there really is recently they've been less visible and less vocal. But that was kind of a break from the past, to be honest with you. We have to understand, you know, typically when we get into matters of that have constitutional concerns, like, you know, separation of powers and checks and balances, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. So what I usually do when I see these things come up is I look for different authorities in the area, in this realm, like constitutional lawyers, websites and stuff, and blogs from them, people who have informed opinions because they actually are lawyers or constitutional lawyers. And so I was interested in, we all know the president can fire a head of an agency with virtually no reason because it's the executive branch. He's their boss, right? But then along the same lines, I was wondering, well, why, if he's their boss, because my boss tells me what I do sometimes, right? Like, they don't micromanage me, but my boss says, hey, here's our mission. Here's what we got to go for today, right? So if he could fire them because he's their boss, why can't he actually say don't prosecute someone, right? So I forget the name. I'll try to find the audio, but there is a good piece from a Harvard law constitutional lawyer professor. He's a lawyer. He teaches at Harvard, one of the best law schools in the world. And he pointed out a good point. He said, listen, I know we all are kind of stuck on this as Trump kind of obstructing justice, but at the end of the day, he's actually allowed to tell the FBI to stop an investigation. He's actually allowed to do that legally. I'm not saying he should, and I'm not saying the optic is correct, and I'm not saying I think I would like that. I wouldn't like that. But we're hanging on the wrong things here with him. It was like the Democrats in particular are really hanging on the wrong things here. Like, he could legally tell the director of FBI to not pursue an investigation. Now, it does get fuzzy if it's an investigation about him, it does get fuzzy. If it's an investigation about close associates. So there's something there. I'm not saying people worrying about this are completely wrong, but understand what road you're going down. It's not as easy as I think some of them think. I think some of his main opponents are like, let's just get him and saying one thing that could be obstructing of justice, and suddenly they got him.
Well, this is what I don't get either, because as the president, I mean, doesn't he have the power to say, even if Flynn, let's say they investigated him, they found some kind of wrongdoing, he went to trial, he got convicted. As president, doesn't Trump have the power to pardon him? Can he give people presidential pardon? So then why would he even care about
the investigation? And then the concept of, okay, he fired the director of the FBI, right? So I don't understand why people really think that he thinks that that would not be if he really did it, like, here's this crazy investigation, I want to shut it down, I'm going to fire the director. Like, I think Trump could be really naive, but that would be really naive. Like, I'm just going to start firing everyone. Yeah, it would just be dumb. So it's almost like a double-edged sword of naiveness here with him. Like, I don't think he's naive enough to do that, but I also think he's naive enough to not realize the optic of that.
And that's, I think, a feeling. That's the feeling that I'm getting from, I mean, because I'm really a grain of salt in a pepper pot as far as, liberal friends and conservative friends. And the whole vibe that I'm getting from my friends, is that they think that Trump is stupid and that, firing Comey, when he did, was something that like you said, the optics of it were just terrible. They're like, well, he's so dumb. Like, why would he do that at that time? And it's like, well, because he could, I guess. I really don't know. I can't answer that question. I'm not inside that guy's mind, but that's the feeling that I'm getting. They just think that he's just stupid and incompetent all around, but I don't think they're giving him enough credit. You don't get to be in a position of where he is by being an idiot,
Yeah. I think we've seen where he's got flaws. He obviously has many flaws. That's an understatement, right? And I think there's some things he's more keen on than others. And I would think the one thing he's not keen on is optic. Like, I don't think he catches on to the fact that if you do X, Y, Z, it might look like really something really bad. But his underlying reason isn't what that optic might be. And of course, his opponents are going to pull on what the optic is. I mean, it makes sense. I would do it. Like, we all do. I'm not faulting anyone who I think that the people who are upset with Trump, who think something's going on, who think there's something nefarious going on, I think there's a lot of reasons for him to really think that. It's just hard to really get to the truth when you have the media and just crazy hyperbole around it, right? Like, there might be a nugget of truth in there, but now you're going to miss it because there's so much other shit that's not anything being flown around.
But isn't that so crazy too? Because this whole time that he was president, all these the Democrats were saying, "Well, look, you were saying how can somebody that's under FBI investigation run for president of the United States of America? Well, look at him, he's president of the United States of America, and he is under FBI investigation." Yeah. Which it turns out from this testimony is completely false. He was never under investigation. So
let's be real about that for a second, right? I know that I think. In politics in particular, everyone hangs on the particulars of words and statements. But what does it really mean to be under investigation? Because, yes, there might not be a named investigation for Donald Trump, but when they're investigating everyone around him, he's inevitably in the investigation. So he's a part of he's being investigated, if you think about it. He's got to be. I mean, not as the centerpiece of an investigation, but he's being investigated. He's got it. I mean, it's... There's
well,
no
he's
way
not
around
the,
it.
The end point to it. They're not the trying to find wrongdoing by him per se, So
yeah,
but I think when you say that, that's what people think. They say, well, if you're under investigation, it's because they're trying to find out they think you did something wrong. They're trying to find out if you did it and what that is that you did,
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I know maybe I'm splitting hairs and I think the Democrats have to be careful. I just think because my concern with them would be that they're really onto something, But the hype and the overblownness of every single little thing is going to drown out maybe real important stuff that people are going to miss now, or they're not going to, it's just going to be one thing among a bunch of things, and no one will ever pay that much attention to it, that that's the real thing we need to worry about. I don't know what that would be. What I'm saying, it's a risk that they're taking, but by hanging on every little thing, you might actually miss the important stuff. And that's, they're taking that risk. They really are.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, honestly, they didn't reveal too much in this testimony as to what exactly. I mean, they're investigating, you know, people in Trump's cabinet's ties to Russia. We already kind of know Flynn was a dirty bird, but he got fired, you know? So, I mean, I don't really honestly believe. And I mean, maybe this is just me being naive, but I honestly don't believe that Trump, I mean, with all the lawyers and shit that he has around him, would put himself in a position to get, you know, locked up or, you know, convicted of something to where he was doing something wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's smart enough to not put himself in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. I know everyone, and from the beginning, people were out to get him.
Yeah.
For probably some noble causes and noble reasons. I get it. But, like, I can't help but I don't really like Trump, I really don't think he's this big, bad person everyone says he is. Like, I think he's just kind of a doofus.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, even remember the big thing everybody was saying about him mocking that disabled reporter?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was on Gavin McInnes has a podcast, and that whole thing he does with, like, the flailing his arms and, oh, I don't know.
He does it all the time.
He does it all the time about himself, about other people.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even really mocking that person. Like, should he have done that when he was talking about that person? No. But, like, that's just the thing that he does. Like, it's when he's acting like a flustered person or like a dumb person. It's just he makes that motion. He does that thing. He did it about himself. Yeah. When he was saying he was away for 9 days and I was, I got to travel.
Yeah.
So it says everything has been, an attack, and some of it's warranted, but yeah.
The truth is going to be he's not colluding with the Russians. Like, the Russians are not that short-sighted. They understand that our presidencies are only 4 years, maybe eight. Like, it's very short-sighted of everyone involved to do that. In particular, on the Russian side, the Russians are good, like, Putin is good at playing the long game. He knows what he's trying to do. He knows what he's trying to achieve. He's trying to create instability within the Western world, in particular between us and our European allies. He's trying to create instability within our political system. If he puts all his baskets in trying to get a friendly leader elected because he wants his sanctions dropped, that is so short-sighted. It's ridiculous. It doesn't. So let's say he does that. Let's say in some way, shape, or form it's revealed. So Trump doesn't get reelected, most likely in that situation, he gets impeached. So a new president comes in. Maybe it's Pence, and perhaps he's in on it. Right. I'm assuming if they find out, they'll know who's in on it. Or maybe it's another president that is not going to be connected to Putin, right? Like, that's the bottom line. So it would be incredibly short-sighted of Putin to really just put all his eggs in one basket to get a leader that's friendly for very short-term goals. Because none of it makes sense. None of it computes. Because Russia is looking at the long game. They always have. They always will. They've been doing this stuff with our elections for years. They just happen to, now we're in the cyber age. Now they have more capabilities in that realm. So it's becoming more of things become more vulnerable now in the cyber age because everything's so interconnected, whether it's voting and ballot sheets or people's emails or something like that, right? That's why it's becoming to the forefront. Like, that's why we're talking about this more. And obviously because of the figure that was elected in office, you got a party and a media that's essentially indexing the world to find stuff to get him. So, I mean, you know, Trump is not colluding with Russia. We have to understand this. He's not. Did Russia do it without collusion to influence some way, shape, or form? Perhaps. But I don't think it's to the ends that everyone thinks it is, which is he wanted Trump in office. I don't think he wants Trump in office. I don't think he gives a F about Trump being in office. He doesn't. And I don't know. People are just stuck on it. I think it's more about the, I don't think the whole Russia being an enemy thing is, it's a farce, right? It's not real. It's people just don't want Trump in office. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they don't like him, and they're just trying to find any reason that they can to get him out of here. And it's just so funny seeing people cling on to all this stuff with this Comey testimony. And it's like, you know, if something was going to happen after he testified, they would have jumped on it. And they would be like, oh, my God, this is enough to do what we have to do to get this guy impeached. Nothing came of it.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to come of it.
No.
But people are still clinging on to it. Like, it's this thing that's like, oh, it's just a, you know, it's something that's ready to fucking pop off, you know? But it's not. It's just, it gets tiring. Even
it's
just reading
tiring.
About it.
It really is. Let's get somewhere with this. I'm going to say it again. I hope it gets somewhere soon. I don't think we will. Last time I said it, I thought we were. I think this is going to be on for a little while. I think we're probably going to have, when Comey's done, when Flynn's done, it's going to be someone else. It's just going to keep going.
Where's our boy Lindsey Graham been? He was all vocal about
this. You're right.
And saying, I invite Mr. Comey to come down and testify and, you know, under oath and this and that. And they're like, oh, did you just call the director of the FBI to testify? He's like, yeah, I guess I did.
I wonder if
he wasn't even questioning anybody, I don't think, at the hearing.
Was he even at the hearing? I don't remember even hearing him. I don't remember if he's even on the Intelligence Committee. I forget.
Isn't he on the Intelligence Committee? Because he was the one questioning Clapper and all them before, saying, like, are you ready to throw rocks? I'm ready to throw. I mean, if you're ready to throw rocks, I'm ready to throw rocks. Like, this is a big thing.
Yeah, there's certain seniority that some senators have where they can pull ranking things where they could actually sit on. Like, for example, John McCain's not on the Intelligence Committee, but he was there yesterday questioning. So there's certain I don't know exactly the mechanism, but there's some senators can sit in on other committees if they want to. So I wonder if maybe that was the case for some of them.
And what the hell was he saying yesterday?
That's a really good segue. You know,
he had a senior moment
when it was airing. I was like, my head, I don't know if you ever see a dog where you say something high pitched or you have something, you go, here, get this, and they turn their head. That
yeah,
was
they,
me
they turn it
at,
to the side. Yeah.
Yeah, that was me at my TV yesterday. I was like, what?
What? Yeah, what are you getting at, dude? You know?
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
It was. And he kept kind of like, he kept at it too, even when Comey was like, I'm not really sure what you're saying. That investigation was closed. So, man, I don't, you know what? I don't think Lindsey Graham is on the Intelligence Committee. I'm looking at the list right now. It doesn't look like he's on it.
Yeah. Just, I remember that sound clip from one of our other podcasts that you played, and he was questioning people that were involved in the intelligence community, but I guess he's not a member of the,
I mean, there's a bunch of other committees too that would have a touch on intelligence, like the oversight and stuff like that. So either he was sitting in on one of the committees, or it was just one of the other committees that have some sort of stake in some sort of intelligence stuff.
Yeah, I'm just surprised because he was so vocal about it. Yeah, and McCain.
I'm going to try to find it so we can play it. But keep talking.
And then he put a tweet out. He's like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have stayed up until 1:45 watching the Diamondbacks play. Or he tried to play it off like he was tired or something. But he kind of was like at a loss for words. And it's like one of those things where you kind of say something wrong and then you're like, well, I'm committed to it. I got to just keep going with it. And he just kept digging that hole.
Yeah. Okay, I think I got it here.
In the case of Hillary Clinton, you made the statement that there wasn't sufficient evidence to bring a suit against her, although it had been very careless in their behavior, but you did reach a conclusion in that case that it was not necessary to further pursue her. Yet at the same time, in the case of Mr. Comey, you said that there was not enough information to make a conclusion. Tell me the difference between your conclusion as far as former Secretary Clinton is concerned and Mr. Trump.
The Clinton investigation was a completed investigation that the FBI had been deeply involved in, and so I had an opportunity to understand all the facts and apply those facts against the law as I understood them. This investigation was underway, still going when I was fired, so it's nowhere near in the same place. At least it wasn't when I was.
But it's still ongoing.
Correct. So far as I know, it was when I left.
That investigation was going on. This investigation is going on. You reached separate conclusions.
No, that one was done.
That investigation of any involvement of Secretary Clinton or any of her associates is completed.
Yes, as of July the 5th, the FBI completed its investigative work, and that's what I was announcing, what we had done and what we had found.
You should see Kobe's face.
Well, at least in the minds of this member, there's a whole lot of questions remaining about what went on.
I was wondering if he might have been having a stroke.
Considering the fact that, as you mentioned, it's a quote,
like,
big deal.
What is he talking about?
As to what went on during the campaign. So I'm glad you concluded that part of the investigation, but I think that the American people have a whole lot of questions out there, particularly since you just emphasized the role that Russia played. And obviously, she was a candidate for president
know,
at
man.
The time.
Like,
so she was clearly involved.
I have a theory,
in
but
this whole
the more I think about it, I don't think that's what he's doing.
Fake news, as you just described it, big deal.
Like, I mean, that's just part of it. This goes on for another like 4 or 5 minutes, but that's the gist of it. He keeps coming back to make, and then he calls there, says there's like some sort of double standard. And so I thought about this for a while, and I was like, well, what could he possibly be talking about? And I have it still playing in the background. So if there's a part you want me to turn off, just let me know.
Senator, with respect to Secretary Clinton, we investigated criminal investigation in connection with her use of a personal email server.
I understand.
And that's the investigation I announced the conclusion of on July 5th.
So, but at the same time, you made the announcement there would be no charges brought against then Secretary Clinton for any activities involved in the Russia involvement in our engagement in our election. I don't quite understand how you could be done with that, but not complete done with the whole investigation of their attempt to affect the outcome of our election.
No, I'm sorry. We're not.
Kobe's
when
face
I left,
is hilarious.
When I was fired,
he looks like he's talking
night.
To like an a like a, like an old senile. He's like, sorry, sir, but wrong. he is a little bit like, hold on, let me open a beer before I try to make this explanation here.
All Lawrence right, so Welk has been dead for years, sir.
So I think maybe this is a stretch. I really don't think this is what he was saying, but the only thing I can think of it was. He might be trying to say that, because remember earlier on in this testimony, he talked about how Loretta Lynch had influenced potentially the his investigation with Hillary Clinton. So I wonder, I'm thinking he might have been trying to make the point that you knew that she may have been trying to influence it. So why did you close out the investigation with that, because it might be a bad optic. Like, if you close it out and she was influencing it and it's found out later, that's bad for you. If you don't close it out, you keep going with your investigation and she's trying to influence it, that's good for you. But then with Trump, you say he's hoping that you're closing it out and you don't close it out. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, but that's the only thing I could think of. I don't know, even if his tweet later even helped figure that out. Like, I don't even think his tweet later really clarified what he was trying to say.
No, I it was so weird the way that he was even speaking. It sounded like he was like, Secretary Clinton. Like, he just didn't sound
right. I feel like he may have gotten caught off guard, but.
Like, when you wake up and have to answer a question in class.
Yeah, it's like, what were you doing? Like, I mean, maybe he's used to this. I know. I feel like I wouldn't. I think I would have been paying attention. I don't know. I mean, a lot of the tough questions were already answered. I think he was the last person to go. So he had all the tough questions were already answered. So maybe he just was trying to make some weird point. I think there was a little bit of a strategy from some of the Republican congressmen to try to make this about Hillary Clinton a little bit, to try to say, I gotcha. And because they had a little bit that nugget of information that he had given out about Loretta Lynch and all that type of stuff. So I think maybe they were like, well, let's see if we can, you know, turn this around a little bit. I don't know. It was baffling. When it happened, I was confused. When I listen to it now, I'm confused. When I see his tweet afterwards, I'm confused. I think maybe McCain is getting up there.
Yeah, well, he's 80, which I didn't even know until I saw that. But the only, I mean, another thing that I could think is like, remember when he was wrapping up the investigation, Comey, and he was like, you know, if she was a regular like citizen, you know, she would have lost her security clearances. She would have been like probably stripped of her duties, this and that. So he made it sound like if it wasn't for her being Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State, you know, she would. You know, her butt would be,
she would be
in the frying pan, you know?
And that's actually true, right? So when he had his press conference, and this is why Republicans were mad at him, because he essentially said, we're not bringing charges, and then laid out the case for why he should have brought charges. And the reason why he said he wasn't bringing charges, because he didn't think she intended to do what she did. So the problem with that is the statute for which she was being investigated for breaking didn't require
intent.
An intent. And it's true. I actually read the statute, and I'm admittedly, I am not a lawyer. So I went to the legal blogs. I went to the informed opinions, and they were kind of baffled too. And I thought it was interesting because he said it yesterday. He says it in all his testimonies. He says, I interpret it based on the way I understand the law, which is interesting. It sounds to me it's a very particular choice of words, how I understand the law, that kind of leaves it almost kind of creates a defense. Well, maybe I misunderstood the law, right? It shouldn't be based on how you understand the law. The law is the law. Like, I get it, there's precedent, there's things you have to take into account, but you saying how you understand the law opens it up to how you interpret it, how your opinion on the law. So that's the problem with him. And he says that all the time. And it makes me wonder if he really does understand the laws for which he's supposed to be, was supposed to be upholding. And I can't fault him as a director of an agency where he doesn't know all that stuff, because he's a director of an agency. He's not the boots on the ground in the FBI prosecuting people. So he needs to be doing a strategy. He needs to be very high level. So I would accept him saying that he didn't make that decision, right? Like, I would accept him saying that I left it up to my career FBI prosecutors, and they decided that it does not reach the level of prosecution for whatever reason. I just think it's him trying to save his butt a little bit. It's just, you know, when I hear someone say, knowing that, reading the law, reading the opinion on the law, and then listening to his statement, you actually get baffled. Actually, maybe that's a good piece I could put together, little sound bites where we could get the law together, you know, maybe more of a deep dive somewhere, and say, wow, it's interesting, because this is what the law says. This is what the interpretation of the laws are based on expert opinions from lawyers. And here's what he said. How did that happen? Why did this happen this way? You know, let's be real. It's a Democrat appointed FBI director, Comey, Democratic president, and it was the Democratic candidate for president. There was never going to be. This is not a conspiracy theory. I would expect Republicans to do this too. There was not going to be any sort of charges. If you really honestly thought there were going to be, you were naive.
And there's a really good book that I think a lot of people should read. It's by Glenn Greenwald, who is a Democrat, but he's a constitutional lawyer too. And it's called Liberty and Justice for Some. And he talks about that, how, you know, people with that much political power will never, ever be charged with crimes because there's a gentleman's agreement, even between presidents that are leaving office and coming into office. Because remember when Obama said he's going to prosecute all these people that were illegally surveilling Americans and this and that and the other. And then Bush is leaving office. He comes in. Nothing happens. He grants pardons to people. So it's never going to happen. It's a known fact that it never happens. But that book is really good at explaining, you know, that whole situation. So, yeah, I mean, the whole lock her up thing, it was great to rally the base. And, yeah, she's a criminal. It was probably took votes away from her. But, yeah, she was never going to do a day in jail, do a day of probation. Nah. She was never going to have anything happen to her.
And, you know, and it speaks to this whole concept, like, if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat and you're surprised at why Trump was elected, don't blame Russia. Don't blame anyone. It really is only the Democratic Party's fault. This was their election to lose and they lost it. And there's, you know, people were just so stuck on Clinton, man. And, you know, like, and it was obvious with what they did with Bernie Sanders. You know, it's just, the DNC was so in the bed with the Clintons, and even Obama, the Obama administration was, when you see with the whole Loretta Lynch influencing stuff, you know, whether it's the plane or, you know, talking to Comey to frame things differently. Like, I mean, this is going to go down as history as a big flop for Democrats. It really is. Like, they had the ability to put almost anyone forward, just not Hillary Clinton, and they would have. He probably easily won. It's really true.
They sabotaged a guy that probably would have won the election, you know?
Yeah, he really would have. It really would have. And I will still maintain to this day, I will be on the record. If Trump is a crash and burn failure, which is very possible, we will have a Bernie Sanders in 2020. I'm guarantee it. Guarantee it. Now, if he makes it to 2020, I don't know. But
yeah.
We will
do you think it's going to be actually Bernie, or do you think it's going to be somebody else?
I have no idea. So the Democratic Party right now is not necessarily putting their best foot forward, really. They're so focused on getting to Trump that it's hard, unless you're really deep into the Democratic Party, right? I'm sure if you're deep in there, you got your short list of people that are rising stars or something, right? But unless you're deep into it, they really don't have anyone prominent right now that looks to be a viable candidate. I haven't seen anything. I've been pushing
Cory Booker out there and Joseph Kennedy are names that I've heard.
That's true. I've heard them. Yeah. And then, well, The Rock too. He was thrown out there. And of course we have Kanye West, but I think surprisingly he might run on a Republican ticket.
How sad would that be? How sad with The Rock versus Kanye? Jesus.
Oh my God.
Christ.
You know what? That would be sad, but it would be really awesome.
It would be like the movie Idiocracy. It really would. A professional fucking wrestler.
In a real fucked up way, it would be awesome, and I would actually look forward to it. Anyway.
That would be a sad day for America for
rich?
Me, man.
Oh, there you are. I almost lost
it.
It would be
a really sad day for America for me. I would hang my head in shame. Like, what other country has done that?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ.
You know what? You know what's a little annoying right now, though, with all this is, you know, I want to give some criticism to the right side of this. They took the whole fake news thing and they're taking it to a whole nother level with this whole Russia stuff. Like, as much as the Democrats are really exaggerating and kind of throwing everything out there and the media just eating it up and just, you know, inflating the headlines, they are now like the right's really thrown out. Everything's fake news. That's fake news. You have to realize that, like, if this was the other way around, you would be doing it too, Republicans and right-leaning people. You'd be doing this shit. You know it. Everyone knows it. Just because it's your guy in there doesn't, you know.
Oh, totally. And that goes back to what I say. It's like a sports fans now, you know, or like, it's like professional wrestling. You have your heel right now. Trump is the heel that's being embraced by people, you know, and then you have whoever the good guy is going to be when they roll them out next year. It's going to be like when The Rock turned. Maybe it will be The Rock, for Christ's sake.
Speaking of sports, you know what I want to talk? We're getting on 40 minutes here, so we're going to wrap up. But I want to talk about an article I sent you earlier, and I want to honor this guy because I think he's super badass, and we're going to play some music for him because he's so super badass. I don't know if this is really honor music, but whatever. It works. Anyway, so the London football fan. Did you read that article I sent you?
Yeah, I actually had seen that already. I saw the live interview of him on TV.
Oh, I didn't see him on a live interview. So in case anyone's wondering, we'll put it in the show notes to this story. But the knife attack in London, was it a week and a half ago now or a week ago? Was it past weekend? I forget. Anyway, recently, there's this football fan from Millwall. Am I saying that correctly? Millwall?
Millwall, yeah.
Millwall. So I guess that's a town or a city?
Yeah, it's a town that has a football team.
And he's soccer for you know, our audience. So what happened was apparently the attackers went into the pub and this guy was like, he reportedly yelled at them when they came in. He said, "Fuck you, I'm Millwall." And he went, like, he apparently was fighting these guys off. He didn't have any idea what was going on in terms of his own injuries. There must be a sound cut in this thing I'm on here. But he said he only had 4 or 5 pints, so not much or something like that. And he just took him on. He was in, you know, he was in the hospital for quite a long time. He had some serious cuts on his, you know, head and stuff like that. So, I mean, they got some shots in him, but he was like, you know what? I took him on. Everyone else ran for cover and I took him on, man. This dude is badass.
That's where I got to give credit to people in the UK, man. They just beat the shit out of each other. They don't have guns over there. So, you know,
the killers burst into the restaurant shouting "Islam, Islam, and this is for Allah." And like an idiot, he says, "I shouted back at them. I thought I needed to take." I'm assuming this is piss because they started out and it's only four words, but piss out of these bitches. I took a few steps towards them and said, "Fuck you, I'm Millwall." So they started attacking me. I stood in front of them trying to fight them off. Everyone else ran to the back. I was on my own against all three of them. That's why I got hurt so much. This was just me trying to grab them with my bare hands and hold on. I was swinging. I got stabbed and sliced 8 times. They got me in the head, chest, and both hands. There was blood everywhere. They were saying, "Islam, Islam." I said again, "Fuck you, I'm Millwall." It was the worst thing I could have done as they carried on attacking me. Luckily, none of the blows were straight at me or I'd be dead. Dude is a fucking badass. They're calling him the Lion of London, The Lion of London Bridge, because it's the Millwall team, the Millwall football clubs is the Lions and stuff like that. And he's getting a ton of like press and stuff. I mean, rightfully so. He definitely should be. Dude is badass. He didn't give a fuck. I hope that there's some sort of video of that. That'd be awesome.
There's some sort of surveillance video.
Who knows? He may have saved people's lives. He really could have, because apparently he had, if you read the article, they had come into his pub and then he kind of stood up to them and he left the pub and he followed them out. And so if they would have came in, everyone just kind of ran, they could have easily kept going into the pub or something, right? Where there would have probably been a higher concentration of people trying to hide or run, but they would have probably been cornered. I mean, if you're in a pub, where are you going to go if you're running into the pub, right? So
yeah,
that's awesome. I mean, I just figured we salute that guy, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a soccer hooligan, dude. You don't fuck with those people.
Yeah.
You really don't.
It's true.
Probably opening beer bottles with his eyelids and shit.
Dude is badass. The Lion of the London Bridge. Is that what it is? The Lion of London Bridge or something like that?
Yeah, but the Lion of London Bridge.
Dude is badass. Well, you know what? That was episode 11 of the Rich and Joe Show, presented by the podcast Without a Name. Hopefully Anthony will be with us next time. I don't know. What do you think? You think he'll be here?
I think he'll be here.
Think so?
He's still making that big decision on which the car or the truck.
Oh, he hasn't made a decision yet, has he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's got to make a decision. He's getting a new vehicle, by the way, in case you're wondering. We'll find out. Anyway, follow us on @NoNamePodcaster on Twitter. I don't think anyone really follows us there, but we're on Facebook, the podcast without a name. You can find us. There's another one now that popped up, by the way. Apparently someone else has the crazy original idea that we have of having a podcast without a name.
We're just too lazy to really think of one.
We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, I believe. Everywhere you can find podcasts, we should be there. Find us.
SoundCloud.
Like, subscribe, comment, especially on iTunes. That's important. Get on there, like, and comment on iTunes and rate us. That's it. Let's shut this down. Remember, Trump is a pain in the ass. If this was the other way around, if you're on the right side, you'd be bitching too. Democrats have a good reason to be there bitching. Maybe the hyperbole is a little overdone. But you know what? It's politics. It's the mainstream media. This is what they do. They need their clicks. Live with it. If you don't like it, then stop listening to the shit, right? So,
I did.
Yeah. I mean, you got to shut it down at some point. So, but keep listening to us because we like people to listen to us. If that makes any sense.
We're bringing hot takes.
Hot takes?
The no spin zone.
Oh, by the way, Melissa, we're at about 45 minutes here, so you're welcome.
Yeah, Melissa, you got your way.
Yeah. Are you happy? Are you that
doing
happy?
Doing it for you.
All for you and my beer.
Yeah.